Welcome everyone to the Sports Review here on a very, very overcast Auckland day, but it's still a bit warm out there. This show is proudly presented to you by Westprint. Give them a call on 09827 8531 or www.westprint.co.nz for all your printing needs. Also, if you're listening on Planet 104.6 FM or listen on planet.org.nz, www.planetaudio.org.nz. I always seem to get that wrong. Wow, we've got a good show lined up to you today, and as we usually start the weekend, and it's always great to have a chat to him. 1987 World Cup winning All Black and a legend of our game here in New Zealand, Mr. AJ Wetton. Good afternoon, AJ. How are you going, mate?
Yeah, good one, Peggy. Nice intro, mate. But, of course, you're everywhere. So many radio stations and websites and whatever, and you may have had a few drinks because that's a nice introduction, mate. But, jeepers, I'm over 60 now, so I can hardly remember in 1987.
Well, I was going to say to you, AJ, as we were speaking off air, 7 days I have not had the devil's drink and touch my lips for 7 days, so I've actually done pretty well. Actually, usually would be hanging out for a bit, but
I suggest you just have a couple, eh?
Yeah, well, I might have to go down to the fan club, which is down Dominion Road, to a few bars, and they could trick me on my show. But anyway, what a weekend of Super Rugby to start it all off, AJ. The Highlanders Chiefs, and one name I'm going to mention, Jonah Nariki.
Well, Jonah Nariki, I tell you what, Jonah, he did look like, not in stature, but I guess in speed and skill. How adept was that? Because, boy, did he come out of the blocks in the second half. He just changed the whole tone of the game, Peggy. They couldn't catch him. Whatever he touched turned to gold. Yeah, you could say there was an element of maybe a bit of luck here and there, but my word, what a classy individual, and he certainly etched his name on that match, and a name that we're all going to remember. A hat trick of tries and just blew the Chiefs out of the water in the second half.
Yeah, of course. The other interesting part about that match was Tony Brown started off with Faletau Fakatava and had the luxury of bringing on probably one of the best halfbacks in the world in Aaron Smith. Now, I thought Fakatava added a lot of energy around that base area, and he just added that energy. Then you get Aaron Smith coming on. What more could the Chiefs do?
Well, I think that the turning point, well, you could say turning point, well, I don't know what happened in the halftime when they went into the shed, but look, they were all over them like a rash, the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
I think that Bryden Gatland, that little chip kick which backfired, and away they went down the other end, and Nariki scored, that kept them in the game. They were open on the left. If that ball had gone to hand, and he'll look back and probably rue that decision, they were in for all money. There's another 5-7-pointer. I think the game is done and dusted. But it did keep them in, and they went into that second half, and they came out, and they just turned it around, and the momentum shifted. You mentioned Aaron Smith. I think Fakatava, he scored just before halftime. In second half, got them going. They were right back in the game, and the Chiefs just couldn't buy a trick. And away they went, and Aaron Smith coming on instead. Sharp, organised, confident, passes like a bullet. Away they went, and as I said, no matter how hard the Chiefs tried, nothing seemed to work. The scrum was under some pressure. I thought the line-out throws at times were pretty average, but in the end, Highlanders thoroughly deserved their win, and the Chiefs must be pulling their hair out and saying, what do they have to do to get a win?
Yeah, well, they gave away such a lead, and it reminded me so much of last season, where they've had these leads, and all of a sudden they tend to lose these leads, and it's fairly quickly. And of course, they lose quite well, actually. And I'm not being insulting to the Chiefs, but they've made a habit of this, and I don't know what Clayton McMillan can do to turn this round. Just some of the thoughts in the match. I felt Ione at first 5-8 was actually really, really steadied the ship there for the Highlanders. And on the Chiefs side, I thought Sam Kane tried his best, but I thought a guy that did catch me was Nane Soteiro, looked really dangerous for the Chiefs.
Yeah, no, look, they had some good plays. I think the boy Jacobson was there. He scored that try. I thought they were quite solid in their set pieces. But again, once you just get on that roll, they just lost their way, and very hard to get back on the horse, as they say. And of course, the enthusiasm from the Highlanders took over, and just some basic skills. I think they got a bit lost. They had first 5-8 there with McKenzie. I think they started to run around a wee bit around the edges and the circles. They weren't direct enough. I don't think they got enough advantage ball going over the advantages to give their backs a bit of space. They looked a bit lateral. And on the other hand, the Highlanders always looked dangerous. So look, go back to the drawing board. I think they've got the goods there. We've seen that in their start, Piggy. But they've just got to capitalise on it. Got to get quite ruthless, quite more disciplined, and really just take a look at themselves. And I know it starts up the front and say, guys, we've just got to dominate these teams a lot more than we have, and we can come away with a win.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yesterday, Crusaders 33, Hurricane 16. I'm going to say one thing, that forward pack of the Crusaders, and it's not the young guys, it's the veterans that are putting their hands up, like the Cody Taylors, like the Sam Whitelocks, like the Joe Moody's and the Scott Barretts. They are really, that forward pack is just brilliant. And of course, there was a turning point in that match was when Artie Sevier, a professional foul, which he received a yellow card on, really turned that game. What were some of your thoughts on that?
Well, look, I anticipated, you know, the last time they lost, they broke that 35-36 game streak at home of wins for the Crusaders was the Hurricanes. So I always thought that they could be up for it. I've done it before. And boy, did they start well. The first 25 minutes, they just dominated possession. Set pieces were good. The big fellas, the front rowers, were doing their jobs. And they looked quite dangerous. And I guess but Jody Barrett there, anything, and they got penalised, they would kick 3 points. But that try that we thought was going to be a try with Garden Basham,
yeah.
What happened in the last, he got the wobbles the last 10 metres. I feel if he'd scored then, the momentum was definitely with the Canes. What may have been. And I think the Crusaders just turned around and thought, right, enough's enough, let's put our foot down. You're dead right. I think the set pieces, the Whitelock and Barrett were just pretty dominant with ball in hand. I thought the loose forwards, I think the Blackadder had his best game. I've seen him for a while. Boy, he throws himself around. And they just dominated and start scoring. When you've got Mwanga at, we've got Drummond playing well at halfback. You've got Mwanga. You've got Haveli there. You've got Sevier Reese. Look, they just look dangerous every time they got the ball in the back line and they open them up. And this Cody Taylor, boy, is he having a start to the season, Peggy. You know, he scored a couple of tries, opened them up in that first half. It was said to the Mwanga try, what a beauty. And as you said, they're just a dominant team. So if you get them on the back foot, you've got to take your opportunities. And I'm afraid the Hurricanes let them off the hook. There was another try they let begging. And, of course, they just stretched the lead and the game was more or less over after 60 minutes.
Certainly was, and you're dead right there, OJ. You never give them a chance, mate, because they're going to make you pay. Just on some of the Hurricanes' performance, did anyone stand out to you for the Hurricanes? I felt Artie Sevier had a decent game. I was quite impressed with Cariffy.
Jack, you did right. Jack
Cariffy
had a better game. I think
it's disappointing. OJ, I'm going to have to... It's Duplessis Cariffy.
Oh, Duplessis Cariffy, yes, of course.
Now, I met Jack. I know Jack Cariffy.
Yeah, I played against his father, Jack. He was on top of mine. But Duplessis, he showed a lot more energy, a lot more discipline. I just think they lack a couple of game changers, guys that can dominate. And again, I just thought they lacked to get over the advantage line. They seem to be struggling to find the holes, darting left, darting right. They don't have anyone that's going to take it and punch the holes and to give them the opportunity to go wide. I think the boy, Munga Jensen, again, he seems to be playing consistent. Jody Barrett, I think he's always dangerous, but he just needs more opportunities. I just thought sometimes, again, that the line-out seems to be a battle at the moment. The try that Cody Taylor got, a second one, I mean, you could have scored that, Piggy.
Four basic skills.
It cost them dearly, and it stretched the lead, and Cody Taylor was a beneficiary. So, look, they've just got to sharpen up their some set pieces, get hungry and make sure they can get over that advantage line.
Absolutely. Well, with the games in the third round, it's Crusaders versus Chiefs and the Blues versus the Highlanders. Let's hope we're under level one so we can get some spectators to the game because I really want to go down and to watch that game because I reckon this Highlanders, I reckon they're the surprise package, AJ. of the
Super Cup? Well, they don't fear coming here. They've got a good record coming here to the Blues. And the Blues' first game at home. And I can't tell you how important that is, that they start with a win, but a good win. Get the crowds in. Let's hope we're at level one. It'd be fantastic to get to the park. We've all missed it. I think the crowds would turn out in their droves. But the Blues have got to match that by putting on a performance to tell the punters and to tell themselves that they are contenders this year. It's not all over with the Crusaders just turning up and winning. So back to the basics. Get the big fellas going. They've got to be a bit more clinical than they were against the Hurricanes. We know they've got the firepower out wide with Ione, etc. So they've just got to make sure they tick the boxes, and let's hope it all turns to level one and we can get out there and support the team.
Dead right, AJ, and hopefully I might see you next Sunday. I won't come up to your club because I know you've got high security there. So
you're on the wanted list, so you may not be able to get in.
Yeah, well, it could be the university guys. I might remind them about a certain game. So anyway,
AJ, we have the right weather, the right crowd, and we go and support Auckland to support their team.
Yeah, dead right, AJ. Well, thanks a lot, AJ. We'll catch up next week, and hopefully we're on level one next week. So have a great rest of the week, AJ.
Cheers, Peggy. Always a pleasure.
Cheers. That was AJ Wheaton. Geez, he's good, isn't he? Okay, so next up, we've got Bluey McLennan up next, talking about the preview of the NRL season. We'll just play a bit of music, and we'll get Bluey on the line next. Okay, everyone, welcome back to the Westprint Sports Review. Now we're moving on to the NRL. It starts this Thursday. What a game to start off with. Melbourne Storm versus Souths. That is going to be a cracker. So last season we had Frank Endicott. Sadly, Frank cannot commit to this season. He's got doing back coaching. He's back working. So then the rumours about me owing him a few beers are definitely not true, but I've got someone really, really good. This guy's a former Leeds Rhinos coach. He's a former New Zealand Warriors coach. He's a former Kiwis coach. For the first time in over 40 years, he was able to get a series victory over Australia. He's a bloody good bloke, and I'm proud to have him as part of the show this season. Please, everyone, welcome Brian Bluey McLennan. G'day, Bluey. How are you, mate?
Oh, good, thanks, Peggy. Geez, what an introduction. I'll keep you on, brother.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, mate, I've always got to be nice to, you know, these newbies that come on here. But, hey, anyway, mate, NRL starts this Thursday, and, of course, the biggest thing we'll be looking for will be the Warriors. What are some of the expectations you'll be expecting out of the Warriors this year? Top eight? A top eight at least?
Yeah, look, I think they'll be really close to it. I'm not sure if they'll get there. I hope they do. I think everyone at the club deserves deserves every break they can get. I mean, from the owners who've just had a tough time since getting it with the COVID, and the CEOs, Kevin, everyone involved, the players, coaches, new coach, Bill Gould. I really hope that, you know, they get the rub of the green. Excited by the Warriors, Biggie. I think, you know, they've made changes, and they've made good changes. And I thought their trial game was pretty solid, given that they lost their hooker and had to change things around. And in today's game, I think your hooker, your dummy half, is probably more vital than ever.
Yeah, I'd have to agree on that. And, of course, Bailey Surinan actually went into that dummy half role well. And, of course, they've got, with Cale Lawton out and Wayne Egan out, you're probably looking at Bailey Surinan, and you're probably also looking at Jazz Tavanga, who both can fill in that role while Wayne Egan is out. So that could be a real critical role. I'll tell you something, I think this Bailey Surinan's going to be a bloody good buy for us, Bluey. Just on, this is the last season of Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. Now, we've had a bit of a chat, off air about his replacement. Now, I just want to see what your views on this was. As I said to you, I picked out a couple of blokes which I think could be admirable replacements for Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. Nico Hines, who's understudy to Ryan Pappenhuysen at the Melbourne Storm, or Bevan French, who plays in Super League for Wigan. What's some of your thoughts on that, Bluey?
Well, there's a couple of ways you go about it. Do you do it within? Do you slowly bring Hayes Perham or Paul Turner? Do you bring them into the fold, or if you do go and buy somebody elsewhere? I think Nico Hines is an excellent suggestion. I think young players that come out of the Melbourne Storm, their system is incredible. So all this fundamentals will be really sound, and what I like about Nico Hines is he has the ability to play like a 5'8 as well. He can kick, he's got good pass options, and I think with the Warriors halves and Tavita Harris and Nikarima, I think that a fullback that can ball play a bit would really suit, and also playing up flat. And now, he's fairly intuitive as Nico Hines. He'll be able to play off structure, but with the game getting quicker, you want to be able to play flat and play up on the ball and what you see. And Nico Hines over Bevan French for me. I think he would be, if you could get hold of him, he'd good, or you develop with him and, with the Turners or Hayes Perham.
And I think that, I've heard a lot of good things about Paul Turner. He ticks all the boxes. They were looking for him to cover the halves area. But, I saw him in that game last season. I thought this guy has got some tremendous skill on him. Now, we might as well go and talk about our top eight. Now, I'm going to, give us your top eight and I'll see if we if my one matches up to your one, Bluey.
Okay. Top four for me, the league leaders, I think, will be South, followed by Canberra, Melbourne, and then Penrith. And the bottom half of the top eight would be Roosters, Knights, Cowboys, Eels, and I've got the Warriors in that ninth. There's a reason for that. I think Tohu Harris has to be on an edge. I think with the halves they have, there's a bit of an experience there. I think they need the skill of him on the edge. Katoa I really like as another edge player, but I just think they need, they got a lot of good middles there. I mean, they were without Al and Afoa a bit last year. They're back. Of course, Benua Blake, is someone who can really, really punch holes. He's the alpha male the Warriors have been looking for a while. So that's my top eight. I've got the Warriors in a nine, but I think they can get the get the balance right on the edges, I think they've got enough middle, you know, in the middle to punch, you know, to dent the line a bit. And, you know, that's where I would go.
Okay, I'll give you my top four. The Storm to be minor premiers. Souths, I'm going to pick the Roosters and the Raiders to make up the top four. The Panthers, the Warriors, the Titans, who I think could be the surprise package, and the Eels.
Pretty close.
Yeah, I know. It's, who would you pick to be the winner? Now, this is it's a tough one. I know I'm probably leaning towards the Storm. I don't know if who you're leaning towards, Bluey.
Oh, yeah, Peggy, I like the Raiders. I think it's their time. I think George Williams, you know, is another year in, and I thought he was good for a first year getting used to going from Super League to the NRL, and, you know, there's a really a promising sign there with Jack White, who's just getting better and better and better. You know, this will be his third season at 5'8", so he can only get better. I think with Hodgson back, you know, on that up-tempo style, geez, they've got some depth in the forwards. They've got some strike out wide. And they've been in, you know, they've been in a grand final 2 years ago. They were one off last year. Yeah, they've been consistently in that top four, and I think they'll get there. Souths are going to be hard to beat. And Melbourne, as always, but, you know, Melbourne don't have Smith. I know they have Harry Grant, but Smith, you know, his leadership on and off the field could be missed, but they're so well coached, they'll be up in the top four anyway. But South, they sort of rely a little bit with Latrell Mitchell, I think. You know, he's the trump card, if you like, and yeah, he tore his hamstring off the bone last year, and that's big. And hopefully he stays healthy. Love seeing the superstars stay in the game, but you know, if he stays healthy, that I think they go to the final, and they'll be hard to beat. Wade Bennett in the big games, but yeah, I'm going for Canberra, mate.
Okay, wow. I was going to go for the Storm because I just think they're just that too good a side. Okay, we have what we used to always have when Frank was on here, we'd have our game of the week and we would always put a pint of ale on it. So the game of the week I picked is Storm versus the Rabbitohs, and you get the first pick there, Bluey.
Okay, well, I'm
going to
go against the trend and go to Bunnies for this one. I know Storm's record first up wins are just absolutely outstanding, in fact, incredible. I think it's about 16 in a row they won. But I'll jump to the I'll go to South on that one.
Okay, well, I'll take the Storm. Now, what usually happens is as soon as you're getting a bit of a lead on me, Bluey, we'll have to have a mid-season break and catch up, and I'll have to start repaying you if you start getting a bit of a lead. If you get too much of a lead, I tend to worry.
No, don't worry, mate. Not a worry at all. But you've got the team you wanted to get anyway, eh? So
of course I did. Of course I did, Bluey. Well, have to say, mate, I've really enjoyed our chat today, mate. I'm looking forward to your contribution during the season. I think we're going to have a few laughs, and there's going to be a bit of controversy, obviously, as we always do during an NRL season. But really looking forward to your contribution this season, Bluey, and I hope you have a great rest of the week.
Thank you, Peggy. You have a good day, mate.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks a lot, Bluey. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Bluey McClendon. God, what a good bugger he is. Hey, we're going to play a bit of music and then we get on to the madness of Brenda McNeice. Well, welcome everyone back to the Sports Review. If you listen on Planet 104.6 FM, or if you listen on planetaudio.org.nz, proudly brought to you by Westprint. And I'll mention that number again. And you've really got to support these businesses out there. They're great sponsors of the show. 09827 8531, or www.westprint.co.nz. Wow. Now we have a football correspondent and sports social commentator. Please welcome to the air Mr. Brendan McNeice. Good afternoon, Brendan.
Good afternoon, Eamon. I knew you would be an absolute happy chappy.
Oh, mate, you're
ending the noisy neighbours, Man City's 21 game of successive victories.
I tell you something, that was. If we didn't have so many silly results, we could be challenging them. This is the silly part.
You sort of beat me to the punch there, Eamon. You know, like, suppose the City run had to end sometime, but who to do that better than the enigmatic Manchester United? Like, just from crap to cream in a matter of days, you know? Back into second place, top four place now looking very, very likely for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and that would be a big pass mark. But what do you make of this team? Like, you know, they couldn't work them out with a slide rule. Two goalless snore fests against Chelsea and Palace, yeah. And then they come and knock off City at home.
I know, it's just unbelievable. You know, like, Fernandes is definitely the key to their change in form. And I tell you what, they've got a lot of... They're going to have a few problems trying to keep him there next year, because I think the big players in Europe, like the Reals, the Barcelonas, will be having a look at this guy. But I'm feeling a bit sad, Brendan.
What is that?
Poor old Liverpool.
Poor old Liverpool, back in eighth place, Simon. Back in eighth place. Liverpool, the current champions. Look, this incredible slump. That was their sixth successive home defeat when they lost to Fulham overnight.
Unbelievable, yeah.
I just can't remember anything like this. You know, maybe it's a COVID thing or something to do with this, but I don't know. It's just absolutely crazy. Jurgen Klopp's come out in the press and saying this is the lowest point of his career, and listen to this statistic. Will you hear this? Liverpool have not scored a goal from open play in 2021.
What?
Yeah, they haven't scored a goal in open play at home in 2021. These are the current champions. This was a team last year that were playing champagne football. They walked the league. They had many, many admirers, not only for being champions, but in the style that they've done it. And they've just fallen apart. They've absolutely just collapsed. And now, if you look at the table now, it's really, really, really interesting now. The table itself and the places for fourth, you know, because you've got Manchester United now in second, Leicester in third, Chelsea fourth, Everton, who won't go away, in fifth, Spurs are thereabouts, West Ham in seventh, and then in lowly eighth, Liverpool. It's just. I can't work it out. I've been following this since as a kid, 5 years of age, and I've never seen a season like this.
I tell you what was it? It has been a really funny season. Of course, there's a big game tomorrow to watch. Will be the Chelsea Everton game. That could be a really interesting one.
Oh well, that's got top four written all over it. So you know we're coming down into the home straight now. As Sir Alex Ferguson once coined the famous phrase "squeaky bum time." the way Liverpool are going, they'd be lucky to qualify for the Europa League.
I think they would be. Hey, what do you think of Chris Wood's brilliant goal?
Oh, he's a class act.
Did you see the goal?
I must admit, I haven't seen the goal, but he's still a good player.
Well, I would say to anyone, he is a class player. I would say to anyone, Chris Wood will not score an easier goal. Arsenal were trying to clear it across the line, and it hit Chris Wood and went directly into the goal from the Arsenal player.
Oh, sensational. Sensational. Hey, but Eamon, meanwhile, we've got to get this over and done with, Eamon. We've got to get this over and done with.
You got your handkerchief?
Meanwhile, Yes, meanwhile, north of the border in Scotland, Rangers have won the Scottish Premier League for the first time in 10 years. And Stephen Gerrard is quite rightly getting some of the plaudits for turning Rangers around, you know. But there's two things here. Is that, yes, they've won the league easily, but Celtic have had a Liverpool-esque meltdown. And so you've got to factor that in. But Rangers have had some reasonable form in Europe as well. So, like, I'll have to very begrudgingly give Rangers some credit on Stephen Gerrard. But as always, as always, Eamon, and you know this for a fact, there's always humour in Scotland. And so Rangers haven't won anything for 10 years. And yep. Like, so anyway, so they've had a tremendous sort of bevy up in Glasgow. And some clown, a Rangers fan, had let fireworks off inside his own house.
What an idiot.
No, it gets better. It gets better, Raymond. He was completely drunk on the Buckfast wine. Burnt the house to the ground.
It's
here. So the Celtic fans are absolutely, you know, laughing their heads off. But you've got to realise that the gene pool isn't that deep on the blue side of Glasgow.
Oh, you're not bitter at all, are you?
Hey, but even there was no shortage of sport yesterday.
Oh, wasn't it great, mate?
Absolute smorgasbord.
I tell you something. Well, I did. I tried to get onto the Spark for the cricket, but oh, it took so long. So in the end, I listened to it on the radio. But what a weekend where I could listen to cricket. I could watch the netball. I could watch the rugby. I went down to my landlord's place and watched the Asania fight. I tell you something, Brendan. It was such a good weekend. How was your weekend of sports? Your wife would have been. Did you spend Sunday at home?
No. I was allowed out yesterday. Her indoors allowed me out yesterday, and I started off with the cricket. I went down to the pub, watched the cricket, and it's always great to win over the Aussies. The only small thing, I just don't get it. Spark talking to the players during the game. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's just, I'm old fashioned, but like the players are out there to play, not to be some sort of like pseudo commentators. You know what I mean? I just don't get that. But it was a great game anyway. It was the Kiwis won easy, so that was good. But the major focus for me yesterday was the Vodafone Derby. I had a mate of mine had a horse, took a rangy, was running in the $1 million Vodafone Derby at Ellerslie yesterday. Unfortunately, the rain came, which didn't suit my mate's horse. Took a rangy. It finished down the track in seventh, but didn't enjoy the going. But we're going to give her another chance. She could go to Australia for the Australian Oaks. So a great day all round, capped off by the Phoenix. What a win.
I tell you something, that lineup by the Phoenix, 7 New Zealanders in the starting lineup. That's a record for the Phoenix since its inception. Now, that is so good for New Zealand football.
Do you like the retro strip, the Manchester United retro strip?
Well, yeah. You hear what the Aussie commentators said. It's a Wollongong Wolves strip, but they just said, listen, and they said, if you're a Phoenix supporter, you don't care what colour the strip is as long as you start winning. But really important.
I think it would look quite cool.
Yeah, I thought it did, actually, Brendan. I have to say, this young fella, Ben Wayne, he looks like quite a good prospect, doesn't he?
Oh, he really does. And then, like, 2 wins on the trot now, and and that's really good. But look, I noticed there, like you mentioned there, that you went to watch the cage fighting.
Well, oh God, here we go. Now I tell you something. I like Israel Adesanya, but I tell you something. It reminded me, you know, when you're a young fella going towards your first disco or dance, and you meet somebody you want to dance with, and you're not too sure if you want to dance with them. That's what that fight reminded me of.
Yeah, sort of the desperates.
It wasn't going to go that far, but yeah, it was just like that. It was just like, and I heard everyone, Dana White, moaning about, you know, the scoring. This guy was all over Asania. Like, he was all over him like a bad suit, which I've seen you wear when you used to work for TV3, but we won't mention that.
I Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I don't criticise anybody for, you know, watching MMA, but it's just a wee bit brutal for me, you know, and I just don't quite get it, you know. And it was quite funny because the older punters in the pub yesterday in Wellington here, we're all watching the horse race and the derby, and all the younger fellows are watching the MMA. So there's probably a sort of a split demographic in there.
Oh, there certainly is. Geez, were you at the pub that long? God, you know.
You can have a glass of lemonade or two, you know, and water and a host responsibility and all of that, even.
Oh, rubbish, I don't believe you. Anyway, you want to talk about America's Cup. You know, I get an expert on there. I'm getting an expert on next week, which is America's Cup veteran Rod Davis, and we'll be, of course, it's starting this Wednesday. Now, you've turned yourself into a bit of America's Cup expert, so I don't know whether I get Rod Davis on or Brendan Captain Pugwash McNeese to speak about America's Cup.
I don't know the pointy end from the blunt end. I just know that I love watching them things flying around the water and the sport and the action and the drama and just, you know, the whole colour of the whole event. It just gets me every time. I just love the American Cup. I've loved it ever since, you know, 1982 when Australia 2 won it over America. So I've been sort of following it. But I'm not a nautical expert by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm going to hold you to account here because I'm going to hold you to account, Dame, and I'm just going to say, what's your prediction for the scores in the America's Cup? Because I'll give you a bit of a clue. I'm going to go 5-2 to New Zealand because
that's the first to seven. It's the first to seven, Brendan.
Faster boat, but Luna Ross has got the better skipper.
Brendan, it's the first to seven, so you're going to go 7-2.
Or 7-2.
Okay, well, I'm going to go 7-3 to Team New Zealand. I think this one could be quite a tough one. We'll find out this Wednesday how good that Team New Zealand's boat is, Brendan.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I thought it was the best of seven, so it's the first of seven. So, yeah, no, good call.
This is why I get Rod Davis to do America's Cup and not you. Yeah.
Rod Davis won't get that one wrong.
Oh, no, don't you assault, boy. We could have got someone else, but you, who was on TV, but, you know, he didn't want to come on the show because we made a comment. But Rod,
He was probably down at Leo O'Malley's getting a new pair of shorts.
Okay. But I'm looking forward to it, Brendan. I'm really looking forward to it. Now, I've got no doubt that you will probably be trying to sneak out of the office a bit earlier to get down to a local hostelry, as you know, like we have patrons of the arts, which we have a lot of people in New Zealand. Brenda McNeese and I, we're proud to say we're patrons of the hospitality industry.
Well, absolutely. Eamon, you do from time to time make assumptions, but this one I can guarantee you, you're right.
Anyway,
definitely looking forward to the big kickoff on Wednesday, and just been a smorgasbord of sport. It's a crazy world of sport. On the upside, I'm hearing good news from the UK and Ireland on the vaccine front, that the vaccines really start to kick in, and that there's a possibility, a real possibility, of not having full houses back in the August. Certainly, you know, certainly crowds back at the football and rugby and the sports in the UK, which is absolutely fantastic. And I can't wait, because it's not, as Sir Matt Busby said, football's nothing without fans.
You're dead right there. Well, we must wind it up. We'll be winding each other up. So we'll wind it up there, Brendan. And I hope that you have a good week and enjoy the America's Cup, and we'll chat next Monday.
You're a top man, Eamon, and we'll talk soon.
Ah, well, sometimes you do tell the truth. Okay, well, on that note, goodbye. Brendan McNeese, well, he is our sporting social commentator, but he can also be, he's a good laugh. So next up, we'll get into some real action. We'll have the panel on next, so play a bit of music.
Don't you let my good gal get you here. She might shoot you, might cut and scar you too. No telling what that gal might do. Down a pallet on your floor. Just make me down a pallet on your floor. Make me down. that's soft and low. Make me a pallet on your floor, or make me dance. Down. Right over here in the corner would be fine, baby. Yeah, just roll that blanket out there and yeah, come on over, baby.
Music there. Okay, sorry about that. Just a little run, a little bit out of time. But hey, we're back on, and of course, this part of the show is always a good part of the show. It's the insightful part of the show, and we have on the line, we have the man, the legend, and the hopeless romantic, Mr. Mark Watson. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Afternoon to you, Eamon. Afternoon to you, Sean.
Hello, Silver Tongue, Silver Fox. How are you? Good show yesterday,
good,
by the way.
Good. Thank
you, sir. Anyway, well, wow, what a weekend of sports it's been. I'll tell you something. I was going to start off with Super Rugby. Now, I know that you were working yesterday, Sean, but tell you what, yesterday was like Super Sunday sports. I was in Sports Heaven. I don't know about you, Mark. I was listening to cricket, watching a bit of netball, watching the Sean show on TV3, the CRC Motorsports show, watching the rugby, watching the UFC. It was fantastic.
Yeah, look, I mean, sport's a great thing for nationalism, isn't it? You could be sort of a bit down. You can have these things like COVID going on around the world, and then you just get a little bit of a pick-up, and you can just sort of escape, and I think sport provides that like nothing else. Yeah, look, a great win for the cricket team in the series over Australia. Anytime you can beat Australia is a good thing in any format of the game. Really impressed by the Silver Ferns in terms of their turnaround. I always felt that their biggest problem previously was just a general thing, which I think a lot of teams suffer from at times, and that was just a fitness issue, just working a lot harder. And good to see them showing some sort of resolve when they're down, and rather than falling apart in the last quarter, actually winning, you know, in that last quarter. So that's great news. The rugby, I'm still struggling to get into it. I've got to be honest with you. I think last year there was real excitement because we'd been starved for so long, but I don't know, it just seems a little bit of the same old at the moment. And I'm not sure what I need to really sort of get me into it. Maybe the Blues at Eden Park this week, perhaps. But look, I think the one thing that's disappointing, though, is still, you know, the T20 cricket, you know, in Wellington, against Australia, a beautiful game, that really should be a sellout. And I wonder whether this is where New Zealand cricket have got it wrong in terms of giving the rights over to Spark. yes, taking the money in the short term, but losing a lot of audience and a lot of viewership in the long term. And I just wonder whether cricket is just becoming a little invisible because of that TV deal. Right, I'm not sure what the numbers Spark are doing, but I don't know. It just doesn't seem to be discussion that I've seen previously in and around cricket, and I think that's also reflecting in the crowds.
Yeah, well...
Oh, look, hey, mate, here's a thought on that, right? So say the All Blacks were playing, I don't know, because it's the All Blacks, but say they were playing Romania at Westpac Stadium, or whatever it's called now, would be unlikely to be a sellout, wouldn't it?
Yeah, probably, depending on how busy the All Black calendar was.
The reason I'm saying that is because of the way Australia's done their selections, it had taken a bit of the appeal away from the Fairweather Johnson, someone who's not an absolute dyed-in-the-wool cricket fan, who went because they want to see the stars playing. And unfortunately, the way sport has become, and TV's had a big part to play in this, is that people are conditioned now that it's all about the big stars. So, and look, it wasn't just because of his ability that the Blues wanted Beauden Barrett last year. That's the whole thing. And I think there was the lack of those. Yes, the Black Caps were there, but, there wasn't the sort of, it was very much made out that this was Australia what see, arguably, I don't know. But I think that would have had an effect on it because, to be fair, it was a match that deserved a full stadium. And especially with what transpired, more than deserves a full stadium with the way Guptill put on that show.
Yeah, I think Wellington as a whole, though, they struggle to get good crowds for Super Rugby. I think last year, even one of the All Black tests down there failed to sell out. They don't get great crowds for the Wellington Phoenix. And I'm not sure whether it's a Wellington thing or just sort of maybe evolved and they've moved past rugby racing and beer and there's so many other things to whet their appetite these days. But, I can understand your argument, certainly around one-day cricket and test cricket, but David Warner, Steve Smith, get a few more bums on seats. I mean,
The
very best form of the game, isn't it? And we still can't sell out a game against Australia on a Sunday afternoon.
No, it's a tough one, but it's funny you mentioned Wellington. Could it be sort of an ambivalence? Look, you've got the situation they talk about, Sydney side is being reluctant to go to a lot of sporting events. I mean, we hear a lot about the big, crowds at NRL games. Sure, you can feel like at Oval or something, but you look at the club match at Parramatta at the big Olympic Stadium, whatever, it's not full. AFL's the only one that does that.
But I just think too, Sean, just with no concerts here and no lot of international visitors and maybe a little bit more disposable. I don't know. I just was always wary when New Zealand cricket signed with Spark. I just felt that, yes, perhaps you're underestimating some of the intangible value than actually having a platform which is going to reach a bigger audience. Incremental long-term cost that could end up being. I mean, if you're ANZ, you're going to go back at you're renegotiating, go, well, hang on a minute, we're not getting the level of engagement we had when we were on Sky. And prior to that, when you're on public television like TVNZ, it's funny because when it is on television in New Zealand, certainly where I drink coffee and stuff, there's a lot more discussion because a lot more people have watched it.
Well, exactly. In fact, I'll give you a bit of insight because I've been in the newsroom when these deals have been done for certain things and, there'll be lawyers at Sky or TVNZ, whoever's got whatever the event is, Olympics, Rugby World Cup or Football World Cup, and they will time the amount of imagery you use in your news hour. And it's become even more complex now with the online, and I see a lot of the clips that are on the sites now. Take a look. They're all 20, 30 seconds. You don't see full stories on there because the rights have been controlled so strictly. So by doing that, and if that's the case with cricket, I'm not in the newsroom now, so I can't tell you. And trust me, I've had the lawyers call when TV3 News years ago went about 4 seconds over of the entire bulletin. I think it was about 3 minutes total Olympic footage they're allowed to use over the entire 1 hour news. That's how strict it was. And you know, and fair enough, people pay for the rights. But the argument is that if it's in news and it's featuring and it's in that conversation, then more people are interested in it. And, you know, and I think the same for rugby, for example. The appetite's there because it's the thing that people are talking about. No accident that all the news about Adesanya makes every fight he does bigger. So I think there is an issue. I don't think Spark particularly are to blame, but maybe the structure of the deal is hurting the other coverage. And, you know, when you hear Brian Waddle talking about it on ZB, and it's, oh, my God, this is such a shame now that he's not calling cricket. Maybe I'm being a traditionalist. But
you mentioned the opposition, by the way, here. It's all good. Oh, go sorry, ahead.
they're not your opposition. They exist.
Okay, yeah, I know. I'm only joking. But, no, just getting on to that, I actually, from what you've just said there, Sean, and, you know, this is where a lot of people don't realise, like your experience being in the newsroom, is that that when there is things regarding rights, that there is only a certain amount you can watch, and this is the real hard thing.
I'll tell you the hint, and you'll see it, especially, and I've seen poor old TV and did do this at the time, you'll see still photos used of an event. That's because that's the only way that they've used all their footage. The only events at the Olympics you're allowed to show in their entirety are the 1 and 200 metres.
Unbelievable.
and the rest of it, that's the deal. You can't show more than a percentage of the event. You can't show it within a certain time after 24 hours. You can't use it. There's all these insane rules. But that's when you see them use still pictures, photos, on the news, that's because they have gone over the allocated time limit.
Interesting. That's something I didn't know. Anyway, gentlemen, America's Cup, are you looking forward to it?
Hell yeah.
Mark?
Oh, no, look, absolutely. Absolutely. And we're at the business end now, aren't we? It'll be interesting to see what conditions they throw out for us on Wednesday. I certainly know where I'm living out of Murawa, it's pretty gusty at the moment. But, I still think. I think New Zealand are able to thrash the Italians. The only thing I think New Zealand have got to be careful of is they don't end up crashing their boat. Because, you know, at the end of the day, they are sailing the civil science project, aren't they? Of course we're excited about it. It's world famous here in New Zealand. It's become very much a part of our psyche. I think the fact that, you know, TVNZ does do it, I think is part of the reason why, you know, there is that high level of engagement. And through that, the newspapers are realising that it gets a lot of clicks, and therefore they're manufacturing a lot more stories, and they're creating a lot more hype out of it. And, you know, they've got a real, you know, and this is what I've said, where I think rugby and stuff fall down. One thing America's Cup is doing well at the moment, whether it be deliberate whether it be by design or not, is that there's always a whole lot of narratives going on in the media, which keeps us interested, whether it be about boat design, whether it be about, you know, television reporter falling in love with an Italian yachtsman or whatever. There's always a lot going on. Keep the interest going.
Yeah.
In rugby, it's a game of cards, and, you know, full credit to the other team.
Sorry, Mark. I was actually coming up Cobber Pass Road this morning, and I looked up at the billboards flying over, and there were 6 ads I saw at the stop sign, and 4 of them were linked to the America's Cup. All the sponsored advertising, and I thought, my goodness. This is probably bigger than Rugby World Cup, you know, the way it's been used here. In that sense, it was just phenomenal. Every little link to it, and they realised the power of this event. Because what this is a, you know, in the same way that I think Kiwis sort of reinvented the game of rugby, I think we've done that for America's Cup. With this whole class and everything about it, it's a shame there wasn't more yachts in the Louis Vuitton. But by golly, I'm a bit anxious actually, because, you know, it's like pre-season testing for car racing or pre-season rugby matches. You don't know till the actual whistle blows on the first real game to see who is really fastest.
But see, this is my earlier point in regards to, you know, you give it to TVNZ, everyone's got access to it. in fact that we've got such access to it, look at the commercial partners lining up to be a part of it, you know, mainly to leverage internally. Clearly, some external leverage as well, because, look, it's not the big global event we make it out to be. You've only got to go on various news sites around the world, and you've really got to search to find it. But that doesn't matter. It makes us feel good about it. Yeah, look, I think if you could stand back from all the hype, you just look at Peter Burling, you look at Blair Tuke, look at the fact it took us so long to win the Cup back. We've come up with this design, you know, and yeah, some of the things sort of behind the scenes. And yeah, I think we should be nervous, but I think it's more nervous about making errors. I think when it comes down to it, pure boat speed, I think.
Well, just hope when they keep the race here.
Oh, they'll keep the race here. Well, the government, yeah, I think they'll keep the race here. I think it's
Are
like
you sure about that?
It's like a play.
Actually, Eamon, one other thing on that. I mentioned about the coverage. In the last few years, Sky actually changed. They used to ban the networks from being anywhere near the rugby tests. Now they actually let them both come in and be there before and after the game and to build it up. So I think, you know, Sky started to get the value of making it that conversation. And that does make a real difference. I just thought as Mark was speaking, then he's exactly dead on. You know, people are going to watch the race, they're going to watch the race, but to make them interested, you need it talked about everywhere.
I completely and utterly agree on that as well. And, you know, it's interesting, just going back to the cricket, you know, Spark give that first T20, don't they, and say, look, it's going to be on TVNZ because they want everybody to watch it. Get so caught up in it that going, well, if I want to see the next game, I've got to buy Spark. So, you know, they're using that well. They understand the importance of, the message out there and then sort of forcing everybody to sort of come back to them as that sort of focal point in the future.
Yeah, and I tell you what, if you look at the numbers, free-to-air, we talk about TV dying. You watch the numbers that watch the rugby game on Prime compared to Sky. There's still power of that, you know? Still want to, many people would rather watch it later and with ads than pay for it.
I would actually agree with you there, Sean, because some of our coverage, like free-to-air, you know, I always believe that the All Blacks test should be free-to-air, Olympics should be free-to-air, Commonwealth Games should be free-to-air, and cricket test matches should be free-to-air as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, look, in theory, but the problem is that Sky can handle scheduling that's affected by weather. Then you've got the problem that Sky, who are a huge funder of New Zealand rugby over the years, if they give away the absolute plum, the thing they're really paying for, it doesn't add up for them economically. So I do see all the sides of this one. It's just the way sports has moved on, it makes it really tough.
Certainly does. Well, gentlemen, we have got a minute and a half to go. Let's do a quick wrap-up. Some of your picks for the sporting week, guys.
Crusaders won. It's me. I'm happy. I'm smiling this week.
We won't speak about EPL, especially with that Liverpool team, eh, Mark?
No, I know. We'll win the Champions League, don't everything else will be forgotten. But no, let's not talk about the demise of Liverpool. Interesting to see Manchester United beating City this morning in one of the great derbies. But it still seems that Manchester City have got the Premier League wrapped up. It's just what other trophies they can add to it. Look, I saw the Israel Adesanya fight. You know, big step up for him. Didn't quite go his way. I see Dana White has come out and said he felt the ref or the judges got it wrong. Well, I didn't sort of see it that way. But, you know, good on him. Good on his fight. You know, he'll fight another day. I'm not sort of really sure what I'm sort of looking forward to this week. I probably haven't had a real chance to sit down and think about it. I'm sort of, you know, everybody's just so on edge, aren't they, around about sort of COVID levels that we're not really sure what does go ahead and what does go on.
You did.
I just want that yacht to do the right thing, Mark, and we'll be happy.
Absolutely. Well, on that note, guys, I have to say, both of you, it's been an absolute pleasure listening to both of you today, and it's been a really good listen, and it's always great having both of you guys on the show.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers. Well, thanks, Mark. Well, thanks a lot. That's us.